Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 20. Romans chapter 5 verse 20.
Romans chapter 5 verse 20 reads this way. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together. We do ask, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us by your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that you might empower our lives and that we might truly be faithful followers and servants, Lord, to your honor and glory. Bless and build Northwood, Lord, and all of your churches, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Now, before I get started, I want to ask you, do you believe in the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that all of the Word of God is all of the counsel of God and all of it is absolutely true?
Amen.
Amen? The complete Word of God, the counsel of God is absolutely true. Does it ever change?
No.
Will it ever change?
No.
It's eternal, isn't it? And so this is important because tonight as we consider our text, we see that sin reigns unto death in verse 21. But then it goes on to say that grace would reign through righteousness unto eternal life. And the key is by Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we look at the message tonight, let's look at it with fresh eyes from God's perspective and what he's wanting to do and realize what the focus is here of the Holy Spirit, right? We know that Paul is the writer, but it's the Holy Spirit that moved the Apostle Paul to write this epistle to the believers at Rome and also to us, right? Because it's included in the canon of Scripture. And so let's consider really what the focus is that the Holy Spirit is trying to do. And obviously he's speaking to us tonight, right? He was speaking to the believers at Rome in the day and age in which it was written, but now it's eternal and intended to be written to all of the churches throughout all of the ages until the Lord returns. And so the Lord is wanting to communicate a message to his people. And all that's required is that we truly believe the Word of God and that we not lean to our thinking or our feelings or even our past experiences, but that we look at the Word of God afresh every time and say, "Okay, Lord, what is it exactly that you're saying to me? What is it exactly that you're wanting to do in my life?" Because that's really what the Word of God is all about, what God is wanting to do in our lives, and that is he's wanting to transform and change our lives into his likeness. Isn't that the overall theme as you look at the life of a believer in the Lord? He's wanting to cause us to walk after him, to follow after him, and to love him sincerely and say, "You know what, Lord, I'm not going to settle for what I think." That'll get us in trouble, right? What I think can cause me not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What I think can cause me to look at myself and my inabilities, right? I can look and say, "Lord, I can't do that." But if the Lord is saying, "Come," what should we do? We should come, right? If he's calling us and saying, "This is where I want you to be. This is how I want you to walk. This is where I want you to go," then Lord, help me to do that, right? And help me not to settle for anything less than that. So again, the truth tonight requires trust or faith that God has already given us these truths through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that we're going to look at tonight, God has already given to you and I as believers. All we have to simply do, as a lot of people say, you know, is to claim that promise that God, you know, put faith or trust in that promise that God has given to me. "Lord, you've given that to me specifically. Let me understand that." So let's we're going to move on here. We're going to look to verses 1 through 3 here in chapter 6. We already see what the Lord is setting forth here. He's wanting us to understand that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so that's what we want to look at. Listen, we all fell in Adam. Is that not the truth? But we also all live now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even more so, the fall of Adam and Eve caused you and I and all of humanity to be marred forever, right, by sin. But even more important is the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have been given life, which is more important than death. Amen? And the life is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is believe, Lord, you have given us as believers this life. Help me to, by faith, trust you in that and walk in that truth. So we're going to look at these who are baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ and what that means. And we're going to look at what it means to be buried with Christ into death. And then we'll look, notice very quickly, we'll take an account of what we have in the grace of God. So look at verse 1 with me of chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, he's saying, shall we continue in these shortcomings, in these failures, in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we allow sin to have reign in our body? Remember, we died to those things in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to remind us of that here right now. Notice, he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So listen to what he's saying here. We have died in the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. Now, what he's talking about here is habitually sinning. You know, if we do it, may it not be the norm, may it not be the majority of the time. Listen, if we have the grace of God, if you're saved, do you have the grace of God? All right? And so if we tell the world, I have the grace of God, but I'm walking in sin, the lost world is going to say, where? What? You don't have anything different than I have. Aren't they going to say that? But the Lord is saying, I have given you something different, right? I have changed your life. And so the world is going to say, where? Right? And you know what we ought to say? We ought to say the same thing. Where? And God's going to say, in him, isn't he? He's going to say, in the salvation that I've given to you. So he says, notice he says, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his what? Into his death. So get this picture. When you got baptized, you are also now being placed in the same position, in the same place that when the Lord died. We were also, through baptism, through our salvation, we're also placed into the Lord's death. This is part of salvation. So he says, know ye not, be aware of this, don't be naive or ignorant to this truth, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So this means that everything that God says is wrong, we are aware of that, and God has given to you and I the victory over that, and that we should not settle for those things in our life. You know, what happens is people begin to say, this is just the way that I am, and they forget that God has saved us from just the way that we are to transform our life unto his likeness. Listen, God doesn't want to see our life, does he? Our life is filthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So God saved us to give us the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whose life should we look for every day? Ours or the Lord's? Ours leads us to a life of defeat. Ours, and by the way, and we're okay with that. And the bad excuse is to say, well, it's all under grace somewhere. No. Listen, if it's under grace, then we are under grace. Amen? And that means we are under the power of grace as well. And that is the difference, and that is the change that brings light into the world that God wants to shine through our lives, and that's the work of the Lord. So we engage this work that God wants to perform in our lives how often?
Every day
God wants. See, but the problem comes is we think it's all up to us and we can't do it. And that's the truth. We can't do it, but God wants to do it through us. And this is the light that God wants to turn on in our minds and in our hearts that we might say, oh, it's all yours, Lord. So by faith, I'm receiving that today. I'm crucifying the flesh by the grace of God, because that's all part of it. So Lord, the flesh has no power over my life, because I am not going to submit to my flesh. I'm not going to submit myself to my thinking. I am going to submit myself to my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died on purpose for me to give me his life.
Amen.
Is that the truth? And so we have to approach it from that perspective. We have to awake out of our slumber or out of our kind of thinking and say, no, I have to think the way the Lord thinks. I have to understand what God has given to me by His truth and not by my feeling or by my thinking or by my failure or by my experience that will not move me forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says this in verse 4, therefore, because we know, we're not ignorant in verse 3, that we were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ and we were baptized into His death. So therefore, because of that, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, listen to this, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How powerful was that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was all powerful, wasn't it? Only God. It was the power of God. And by the way, the power of God is in you and I through salvation. Now we could do one of two things. We could say, I just don't feel it. Is that how God wants to do it? Or has God said it, and that makes it so, and that settles it? And so, you know what, Lord? I'm going to walk upright. I'm going to use the Word of God and walk according to what it has said, and I am not going to surrender. I am not going to submit my life to my thinking or my flesh or the world standard. I am going to submit. That is a conscientious decision. I am placing myself under my new Lord and Savior. Amen? My old Lord was the devil in the flesh, wasn't it? My new Lord in salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am going to follow how much of what He has said? All of it. Am I going to say, well, am I going to excuse myself like this? Well, I just can't do it. Is that how the Lord... Now, follow me according to how you think. Is that what the Lord said? Follow Him according to how you feel. Or does He say, follow me because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. So it's not our way. It's not the world's way. It's not the flesh's way. It's the Lord's way. So we have to settle in our minds, I am not going to submit to what I think or what I feel, because what I think and what I feel can go like this. Well, you know, I'm just given to that. That's just my habit, you know. I just do those things. Well, God saved us from doing those things, didn't He? So here's the question, really. Who are we submitting to? In that frame of mind, we are submitting ourselves to ourselves. We are taking lordship of the life that Christ has paid for, and we can do that. We're going to take lordship, and we're going to say, I'm going to do it my way. And that will get us in trouble every time. And that will render us powerless, and then we'll come up with these excuses. Well, after all, everybody's doing it. After all, nobody else is doing what is right. After all, I just can't do it. And where's our focal point if that's what we're doing? It's not on the Lord, is it? So it's on our thinking. That is leaning to our own understanding. No. Listen, we are a child of the King. We need to submit ourselves to His authority. My allegiance is not to me. My allegiance is to the Word of God and to our God, right? And so we need to be serious about our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're serious with our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll find that He will crucify the flesh. As we submit, we make no room for the flesh. How do we do that? Because we say the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and His way is rule. I submit myself. We have been bought with a price, have we not? Okay, so again, verse 4, he says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, I didn't say that. The Lord said that, didn't He? So are you planted together with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that, right? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also, not maybe, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We'll also be in his life. So did the Bible say that we were buried with him by baptism into death in verse 4? Isn't that what the Bible says there in verse 4, very beginning? So if we've been buried with him, in his death, so he says also, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, how was he raised up again? By the glory of the Father. How are we raised up? The same way. The same way, by the glory of the Father. Now, here's how to grab a handle on that, right? God said it, that settles it. That's just simply it. I'm going to walk in that truth. Amen. So I'm not dependent upon myself to change my life. I'm dependent upon the Lord that he's going to do that. So for the rest of this day, I'm going to humbly walk before the Lord, and I'm going to trust him, and I want the rule to be, so as soon as I smell the flesh, and by the way, when we purpose and when we choose to walk after the way of the Lord, God will start revealing to you and I the difference between the spirit and the flesh. God will make such a stark contrast between our will and his will that God will show us, and we'll see it, and we'll learn to turn back away from it. We'll learn to be afraid of it, lest it leads us into our own way. If that's what we want, if we're going to believe the Lord that he has given to us this power, that's faith. Amen. Listen, God has done that for each and every one of us. The choice is ours to say, I believe it. We can either say, I don't know. You can say that. I don't believe that. You don't know my life. Whatever you want to say, you can say it. But that's not the way of victory. The way of victory is to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you believed him and got saved. Amen. So if you believed him and got saved, who did the work? The Lord did. So if you believe him for everyday living to see the glory of God in our, not ours, not our best, but his power. See, the reason why is because God gives us cause to worship him every day. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Without Christ, there is no life. There's just me. And me is not life. Me is death. But I can be in Christ, or I can be... See, we still deal with the old man. And this is how to deal with the old man. And this is how the old man is crucified, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and walking as he's going to perform, because he's promised to do it, didn't he? Whatever God has promised to you and I, he is the performer of it. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves, thinking that we are the ones to perform what God has called us to do. We'll never do it. We will never do it. Listen, it is high time for God's people to say, I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for his light in my life, for his power, for his grace, for his love, for his patience, for his kindness to change my life completely. A complete change that my old man might be what? Shall we coddle the old man? Shall we feed the old man? Or shall we let him die? We got to let him die. It's a personal pursuit, if we're not careful, here's what self will do. Well, I don't know that everybody's doing that, the Word of God. I know the Bible says this, but I can do this.
Lord help.
Absolutely, Lord help. Because that's not going to bode well for believers showing up before the Lord, is it? We are compromising if we're not careful. Listen, and by the way, why do you say that, Brother George? Because I know my flesh. For the record, I know my flesh. I can compromise the Word of God. I can excuse the Word of God. I can say I believe it with all my heart, but I can excuse it in my own private life. But here's the one thing. God sees it all. And it doesn't bode well with the Lord. And my service to the Lord is not for the world's eyes. My service to the Lord is to my Lord. Amen. Your service to the Lord is to him. And if our service is right before the Lord, it'll be right before everybody very quickly. And we're going to move along here. So verse 5 again, he says, "For if we have been planted together," and the question is, do we really believe this? "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this," listen to this, "that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from this point on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead," that's what he's just talking about, we died with him, "is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ," and that's what he was talking about, "we believe," there's faith, right? "We believe that we shall also live with" who? "With him." Right? "We shall also live with him." Notice again verse 9, knowing, don't be ignorant, "knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." Are we in the Lord Jesus Christ? All right, so follow this. "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto" who? "He liveth unto God." Who are we living unto? If we're doing things our way, according to our thinking, our feelings, our experience, if we're going to do it that way, who are we living to? Not God, right? Ourselves. So here he says, look at verse 11. "Likewise, just as all this happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise, reckon," that means take into account, "ye also yourselves," listen, "to be dead indeed unto sin." Did you see that? You have to take into account. That's figures, isn't it? And here's the thing about figures. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4 in heaven and in hell. 2 + 2 = 4 in America and in Asia. In fact, 2 + 2 = 4 everywhere for all time. Math is exact, is it not? I mean, there's no gray area there in this math. So he says this, "Likewise, reckon ye also," take into account, and if you don't, it never happens, "ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Did you get that? Listen. You are dead indeed because of the Lord's deed unto sin. Not because you died in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's the one that did the crucifying, right? He's the one that allowed it to take place in our lives. So you're dead indeed unto sin. But notice, but alive unto who? God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the vehicle. He is the vehicle. So that because of that, he says this, "Let not sin therefore," because of God and what he did, "let not sin therefore reign in your mortal," that's here on earth, "body, that ye should not obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members," that's who makes the choice, who we yield to, "neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." We make that choice. You and I make that choice every time we choose to sin and not believe that the Lord says, "Nope, that is not the way to go. That is not the way to walk." We make that choice. That's what the Bible says there. So we got to stop saying, "Well, I just can't help myself." God says you can in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, stop looking to yours. Just say, I am a child of the King. Lord, I am not walking that way. And we need to approach the Lord in that regard and say, "Lord, I am submitting myself not to me and my thinking in the world, but to you and your word. I want to submit myself to you." So notice again, he says, verse 13, neither submit your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Didn't we raise with the Lord? We were buried with him. We raised with him. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto yourself, unto the world, unto the flesh, or unto God. So who are we under? We're under God. But we've got to make that choice. We have to take into account. We have to reckon it so. So here it is. Ready? If you have $50 in your checking account, can you write a check for $1,000? Yeah, you can. You're going to get in trouble. And that's what happens every time. Every time we think we have something in the Lord that we don't, we're going to get ourselves in trouble, and we're going to take ourselves in the wrong direction, right? So here it is. Yeah, technically you can, but it's not going to fly well. So here it is. But if we have $1,000 or $1,000,000 in our spiritual bank account, why, it's limitless, isn't it? And that's what God has given to us. Spiritually speaking, you and I have nothing, but in Christ we have everything. And that's what God is wanting us to see and understand. So he says, take into account what? What you can do or what God can do. See, what you can do gives you less than $50 in your spiritual account. In fact, it gives you less than zero. We're bankrupt. We have nothing. And that's why every time we try to write something in our strength, we will fail. It will bounce. We'll have the devil's creditors after us and causing us to sink deeper and deeper into debt. The devil will always make you a promise to help you pay that he can't pay. But if we look to the Lord and what he has given to us, my goodness, the potential is limitless in the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice what he says here, verse 14. If you don't yield your members, if you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto the Lord, there in verse 11, he says this, verse 14, for sin, and by the way, also if we yield our members as dead and as instruments of righteousness unto God, he says this, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's what God says. If we are putting ourselves under the Lord. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we say, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He says, God forbid. That's why I have a problem with all these people say, oh, it's under grace. I'm okay with grace. God says, God forbid. How can people take it so flippant and so easy that it's just okay? And we're not talking about losing your salvation, but grace ought to be doing a work saying, there's something wrong with me. I'm not right. And I've got to seek the Lord on this matter. Because he says we've become new people. And if we don't have the power of God and we call ourselves Christ-like Christians, we're hypocrites. We're living a life of hypocrisy. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I don't want to be a hypocrite. How about you? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to walk true in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to find, and listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, I know, and we all know, we can't do it without the Lord. In fact, the truth is, God doesn't want us to do it. He's never asked us to do it without him. He wants to do it for us, because that'll cause us to become more dependent upon the Lord, to give us a hunger and a thirst after him and his righteousness, and we'll do some praying and some talking and praising God for the work that he's doing in our lives. You know, that is the joy of the Lord, God giving us what we have in need of. Isn't that, listen, you know, my kids, when they're little, I still like doing things for my kids, especially if they've got something that's broken and they bring it to me to fix it, and I can fix it. That's, let me qualify. And then I fix it, and it, man, Dad, man, you're the greatest. Josiah called me the other day. We did some tile work in our house in Texas and also in here, and I showed him how to do something with vinegar and water, how to clean up grout or something like that. And he said, man, you know, because he's on the environmental service doing cleanup and stuff like that, and they had some grout to clean up, and nobody knew how to clean it up. And he said, hey, let's get some water and vinegar and some sponges or whatever. And he said, man, they thought I was the greatest, Dad. And he says, thanks for showing me how to do that. I said, did I show you how to do that? but here's the whole thing. That's what God wants us to do, to say how great you are, God, to show me and do all these things for me and through me for your honor and glory. And the world looks at us and says, man, you guys are different. And we say, oh, it's our God. It's our God that makes us different. So very quickly, and we'll finish up here, verse 15. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He says, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, and that's the choice right there, to whom we yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Did you hear the choice? That's the choice. Whoever you yield yourself, if you yield yourself and you contrast the word of God, sin unto death. But if obedience, it's unto righteousness. And I need you, Lord, right? I'm not going to read for the sake of time. I'm not going to read the rest of the verses. But I want you to see what the Lord is saying here. We use this as the Romans wrote, and I'm not against it. It works because it's a truth. But more contextually applied, Paul wrote this to you and I. Look at verse 23. For the wages of sin, he's talking to believers in this context. For the wages of sin, if we willfully sin, you know what he's saying? It's death. But wait, how do we change that? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. The righteousness of God, the mercy and grace and power of God in our lives, it's a gift that you and I have been given, and God is he loves to give it to us. How often does he love to give us his righteousness? We need it all the time, don't we? We need it all the time. And so if we ask him, Heavenly Father, you know what I need from you today? I need you to show me the way. In Jesus' name. Amen? I need you to show me the way. You think, and you think God will withhold that from us? You think God will say, here it is. So that when we go, wow, Lord, this is how to walk. Praise your holy name. Lord, I would never be able to do this on my own. I would never be able to live a life pleasing to you in my power. And we come to know that, and then all of a sudden we begin to be able to differentiate when we think we're so smart, we think we got it, and we can excuse ourselves for our sin, and we can explain it away. That won't fly anymore. We'll say, oh my goodness, that is death. That is death. And I don't want to submit myself to that. So tonight, where sin abounded, goes so far, grace did much more abound. So the question is, do you want sin to abound in your life or grace? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, once again thanking you for your great love toward us and all that you've given to us. Lord, may we pursue you and your mercy, your grace, and your love and power that you've given to us already, that we might yield ourselves to you and that we would not yield to our own way of thinking or to the world or our experience, but to your power, your mercy, and grace. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.